Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Your kitty looks happy.
He's blissed out. He likes an early morning Zoom meeting. Mine started at 8. He's very happy.
Yeah, we got back last night. Around like 1:30, and the cats have been just absolutely glued to us since returning. Who else are we expecting today? At least Jakob, I assume, and Kurt. I think maybe Jakob's still in a meeting. I don't know. Okay.
Hey guys, how are you? Good.
Morning, Jakob.
Okay. Let's look at boards. Oops, sorry, it's the other one.
I'm still getting caught up on messages, but has anyone heard from Kurt or should I ping him?
Yeah, please ping him.
Okay, thanks.
Let me just try to, come on. Hi, Kurt. All right, guys, let me so I did fight a little bit more Mallory with this rash project, but I just couldn't make it work, so I created a new one, ILL Dev, and I'm gonna move those tickets to the ILL Dev project and extend this board to show it, so I'll do it
Oh.
after the call. Yeah, I give up.
Okay. So that's where we should create new tickets that are like the
Yeah.
ILL mock I think you created, or not the ILL mock, the
The rush
upload.
rush to,
Yeah.
yeah, the upload and the rush 20 and whatever else
Okay.
we create. This, I'll send you the link of this project. It's this one, ILL Developments.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just drop it on the research dev. Yeah, so, but I haven't moved those yet, so we have to pull them up individually. Let's start with the Rush 20. Kurt, do you have any updates?
So, so we talked about the stuff with Rush 20, I guess whatever we moved it to. So I was working through that. Yesterday afternoon, I did discover a bug wherein some of the requested messages were not getting sent over. So I was working on that. So as of this morning, I think I have it figured out. So I should be able to get that working again. And my hope is before noon to have the scenarios we talked about working, plus the basic supplier scenario, and get that squared away. so that we can
Okay.
move forward with that.
Okay. So far you have the requester scenarios working, right? So the
Yes,
issue.
I hear the requester side is working. The only thing that's not working on the requester side is sending. It wasn't sending the final, the ship return message back to the supplier. So I think I have that figured out. So as soon as I get that round trip, I can call that part done, and then
Good.
move the supplier stuff.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it'll be nice to make sure that we get the loan completed. We get
Yeah.
up to the loan completed stage, right? Because that's well, not only gonna clean up the transaction in the book, but it also see that actually the whole flow went through. Okay, perfect. And then yeah, please open that pull request when you get it. So I'd like to take a look at it, and then it would be nice to yeah, start merging that. And Mallory, we need to talk with Ian regarding the development environments. So I'm not 100% sure what was the plan. Where would we like to get it deployed? Did you have a conversation with him about that?
Well, we had talked about doing a like a pre-release, but I didn't realize that we were going to need a new development environment. So I will create tickets for that. But you mean like an additional cardinal environment or something that is specific to the Trove
I think it
setup?
should be a dedicated Trove
Okay.
minus dev environment. Yeah, and before he starts working on it, let's touch base because I'd like this to be in a separate namespace on the cluster. Because we had problems in the past with the ZFL environment. It was sharing some instances of some modules with the rest of the research stuff, and it was just behaving strangely. I think this needs to be isolated, and this will also need the broker and. We don't want directory there. So it will be sufficiently different than I think we need a new one. Of course, we can retire one of the existing ones if it makes sense or retrofit. That's also okay. We can
Okay.
talk to him. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I will create that ticket today. And we can get in touch or touch
Yeah,
on that.
yeah,
Okay.
yeah, yeah. When the pull request that Kurt has is merged, we need to get moving on that deployment, just so we can test it. So essentially, what Kurt is doing locally, we also want to be able to verify in that environment, including all those other cases where the thing breaks. Which I think, Kurt, we talked about this, right? I mean, it would be nice to also verify things like pull slips and stuff, but it probably is going to be easier, Mallory, to do it in that environment. When it's
Okay.
up and running, you know, we can just click around and see what is broken.
Do you want that ticket for Ian to be created in which Jira project? Is that a DevOps or is that a
DevOps.
okay?
Yeah, I think it's DevOps, and it doesn't need to be for Ian, right? I mean, so let's get
Right.
that ticket created. I'll flesh it out, and then maybe we can also think about John looking into it.
Okay.
If he's got the cycles, and Ian is, you know, swamped, which could be the case. So yeah, let's take a look at that. Yeah, so
Okay.
maybe add them both as watchers, and then we can decide.
Sounds good.
Maybe also Wayne wants to weigh in. I don't know. Okay, but this is good progress, Kurt. Thanks for staying focused on this one. Yeah, so yeah, let's get. I think for Rush 20, let's get it to the point that we discussed, right? Those supplier and requester scenarios with the mock, and we'll close that ticket, and the next one will introduce the broker into the mix, right? Yeah, just to make sure that we have it covered. I don't think it's gonna change anything in your test, but it could be a nice addition. Good. Okay, so looking forward to this one. Okay. Thank you. And then Jason, should we talk about the Rush 21?
Not too much to talk about. I'm still building it. I've got some basic pieces that will actually upload the thing to a bucket, but there's a bunch of details I need to finish up implementing, and I'm currently setting up a integration test for it using test containers.
Okay, good, good. That's perfect.
I found something interesting that I
Hold
mean, we
on,
can.
just do share this code. I guess earlier maybe than later before you gets too far. If you want some feedback also, I
Yeah,
think
I
it would
will.
be nice. Yeah, good.
But like
Yeah,
right now,
but
it's just like there's just a bunch of obvious stuff that I need to do. So I'm doing
sure.
that first, and then when it comes to something that's sort of like more of a decision, I can share it so we can talk about it. So I'm just trying to look at my notes here for a sec to find what that's called. But anyways, there's an option for there's some retention policy stuff, and there's an option when running put object to set an expiry. So it looks like I'll be able to do that too. So we don't necessarily need to do what Ian was talking about in a pinch, but it's nice that we have that option. And I will also, there's this idea of a prefix. So they don't really have subdirectories under buckets, but you can kind of, they have a convention of treating prefixes kind of like them and using slash as a delimiter. So it sort of works. So I'm going to prefix them with a tenant just based on the copy header.
Makes sense. Yeah, no,
So
that
that
sounds
way
good.
we can do stuff like that externally if we need to or want to. I was just going to have it hit a copy and like try to connect to RS to get the S3 settings. Is it useful or important to have something in there to override that and just take an S3 bucket from, say, an environment variable?
I think it will be okay, to be honest. So yeah, especially for this thin thread. I mean, we just want to get this up and running first, and then we can update the configuration at another source. So if yeah, I think the main discussion point was, hey, what is the most convenient way for users to configure? And since we already have those S3 configuration settings in MotherOS, we could just reuse them. But I think it's probably also okay, and for April to have it configured by environment variables, because it really
Okay.
is essential to for whoever is deploying it to configure, and then it's convenience, user convenience mostly, right? So then we can add it as an option.
Okay,
So
then
I don't know.
I'll do the environment variable one first then, and then I'll do that part second, because that takes a little bit more for the integration test as well, just to mock RS. It's not a big deal, but
Exactly.
it's a little
Exactly.
quicker to do it
Yeah.
this way. Okay, so I'll start with that and then we'll add that later.
Good. Yeah, I think
All
that's
right.
good.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. I've got
Perfect.
plenty to go on, and I can just keep rolling.
Awesome. That's great to hear, Jason. Thank you. Okie doke. I don't know, guys. Mallory, do we want to take a look at what the DevOps guys are looking at? So I see some tickets for David. Trove logo, facility to generate a basic SVG logo, application to gather details for Trove tenant. I guess that's the spreadsheet application, right?
And we're waiting on, like, we have the Trove logo in place, like most of the places that they want it. They need to get us artwork for any of the smaller things that they want to change. So it's kind of in their court. And I think, we've talked about there's like a few things that we're gonna need additional tickets for like that flat file situation. So there's the cost for the different tiers and service level combinations, and accounting for the state and national holidays. And when we last talked, we were wondering if we ever got the pickup location information from Trove, and I asked Deborah about it, and she does not believe that we have collected that. So I'm gonna have to ask Trove to try to get us branch locations if they want them loaded into the tenants. Yeah, I think there's gonna be a few things that we're gonna have to load up with that flat file situation, since there won't be a UI for the directory.
Sounds good. Yeah, let's let's just please make sure to have that ticket ready because we need to, like, even without, having all the details fleshed out, because I'm sure there's going to be multiple additions, but it would be good if somebody, like maybe David, started working on that sooner rather than later. But when we get the development environments set up, Kurt merges his pull request, and we add the broker stuff. I mean, we could start testing, right? But we will need some sorts of data for the peers. So then it will become sort of relevant. So they probably can take it easy, but they should be already aware that this needs to happen. Okay, and then we also had else did we have? Did we have anything else for 12?
I have a few questions. Well, we still have a few things over on the other board, but I don't think they're currently being worked on, so we don't have to go there. But the other thing for Trove that I wanted to ask you about was we got through a lot of the questions and from the SME meeting, but most of them resulted in like go ask Trove some questions about how they like want it to work and how Olmo does these things. So I have that worked out, but one of the things that we didn't get to was talking about renewals, and if there was any possibility of editing the due dates, in cases like this, because Trove doesn't use NSIP, and like if there's some sort of workaround we can create for them because they desperately want renewals, but I don't know if you want to go into that now or not, or if that's like a would have to be a down the road topic anyway, but I think they want to know what might be possible.
Yeah, sure. Let's chat about this. Do you wanna share your screen or something? Is that gonna be helpful?
Sure.
Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I shared this at the last meeting when we started going over this, but I can just put it in chat here if anyone wants to look at it. But right now, renewals are not supported in Reshare. There's a lot of NSIP considerations, and there's an old ticket about editing due dates. But I think it's kind of been on the back burner because it would be like just difficult. But also Trove might want to charge for renewals, which is outlined in this this like their diagram situation, which I think we also looked at last time. So anyway, renewals is a thing that they're very interested in. And we weren't sure if there might be some way to handle this with just them messaging back and forth, the requester and supplier. And then manually being able to edit the due dates on both sides if there's agreement.
Mallory, I think another option we chatted about on the last call with Tro was, what if we just did renewals without NSIP? So I had an option to do renewals sort of without automation. So we would just be adding essentially a new message and state transition, but not fret about all the integrations that might go with a proper implementation of renewals. Would that be easier than making due dates editable?
I think I might have just like not caught that perfectly, but about like not sending an NSIP message, but that is yeah a good point, or like more clear. Go ahead, Jakob.
Yeah, I think that would be better. If we actually did that, right? That just date editing sounds like a hack.
Yep.
We should still try to use the actual. I mean, is there a facility in 1866 for renewals?
Yeah, there
Yes.
is.
Yeah, it would probably be best if we used it.
Yes, that's a nice formal way to add the state changes and the actions, and it feels like it should be a fairly well understood and well-defined thing. The thing that makes the NSIP piece scary, I think, is that we don't even necessarily have a full map of what that might look like. And I guess technically we'd want to do a renewal into the ILS on the but maybe even both on the requesting and the supplying side, and that would just be annoying.
You mean for a non-tropes situation where we have the unsub
Yeah,
provision?
if we wanted to add it over here, but
Yeah, well,
we
the trope
chatted
has no
about
state
this.
model, so we can do it first, basically. And then when we add it to the other state model, we can have a head start because trope's code will at least do part of that.
Well, I think it's the same behavior on the isolating 6 to 6.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the NSIP stuff has to be added. So the
Yeah,
trope case is
exactly.
easier. It's just the 18626. It doesn't need the
It's
NSIP. Yeah.
the same case with ANSIP integration turned off. I don't think there's any difference.
Great.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
Uh,
I think let's write up a ticket for that, right? I mean, so does Reacher at this point support any kind of renewals?
no.
Don't think
Okay.
So the ticket would be to add like the like additional state transition and like model it after the ISO 18626 standard, but we will do it without NSIP integration as a first phase.
yeah, I mean, that's in Reacher, it's always optional with the unsub stuff. So that would not be different, but we need a new state. Yeah. I
State or
guess
just
we need this.
action?
Yeah. I mean, the question is, do you want to know that the renewal was sent or not? On the requester.
You want to know if it's sent on the request?
It'd be in the
Yeah.
audit trail still.
Yeah. But the
So,
messaging would also allow the supplier to reject the request, right?
okay, then we need states.
Yeah.
Right. Usually, the way this works is that the requester sends a renewal and the supplier agrees or rejects. And if the supplier rejects, then it needs to be returned, right? Especially if it's overdue. So there's also the case about the overdue, if the renewal was sent after the overdue
So I think that
or not.
the expected flow would be that the request will show, will pop up in the supply app as needing intervention or attention, right? And then you pop in and there'll be some kind of signal that it is there is a pending renewal request and an
Well,
action.
it would be in a state of renewal requested or something.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what we
But
discussed, right?
then
A new
the
state
problem is
on the
though,
requester.
so there's a thing with that though. Because okay, we've transitioned it from whatever state it's in into a state of renewal requested. How do we know what state to transition it back to after the renewal is approved or not?
Loaned.
Or did it ever be anything other than loaned?
Overdue, but yeah, and that's just based on the date.
Now, overdue is something that the supplying library explicitly communicates, at least on the isolating 6 to 6 level. So it's not like a requester figures it out on its own.
No, but do we have on the supplier side, is there a different state when it's overdue? I forget. It doesn't matter. I
That's
wouldn't
a good
imagine that it's
question.
not though, but I don't know, actually.
I'll try to take a quick look.
But anyways, we can tell based on the date. So it's not like we need to store any additional information if that's the case. Yeah, my concern was just that if there were other states,
If it's renewed, it can't,
like
it's not, if, or I guess if they reject the renewal. Yeah, I mean.
for example, like if the like it's being shipped and it took a while to ship it and they just really want to make sure they can renew it because they need it for a particular date. And so they try to renew it before it's well, they don't even have a loan, so probably not. Yeah, okay. It's probably just loaned and overdue.
Yeah, overdue is definitely a state. So,
On the supplier, right?
yeah, on the supplier. And otherwise, it's in shipped. I think when it's like not when it's on loan or when it's loaned.
What would be the sort of the behavior on the requester? Does the requester generally want to wait until an item is overdue and then renew it? Or would they want to renew it
It could
before
be.
the
I would
deadline?
imagine it could be either one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but would they typically go and search for items that are just about like what's the workflow on their end? It's not like somebody just going to wake up one day and figure out, hey, I'm just going to scan for all the requests and renew them, right? It's not how that's gonna work. So, like,
Well, it
what
could
is the
be
process?
triggered because the patron asks for a renewal.
So it's triggered by the patron.
I mean, it could, I just imagine it could be multiple different things potentially.
Okay. So just an action that essentially shows up on every state, basically.
Yes.
Or on the loan state, at least.
At least on the loan state. And if there is an overdue state on the requester side, then that's it.
Yeah, there is an overdue state as well, on the
On the
requesting
request.
side. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe just put it in there, right? Like this action should be both in the loan state and or overdue state.
This is like strongly desired for go live, or R2 technically. Is that like, do you think this is something that we can add in, or should we push it to like R4 when pay for peer goes live? Or like, I guess like how big of a lift is this? I think it like they just want to know if, like when they might be able to have something in place to handle renewals.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if we have estimated anything until the next the July, the R4 is that July.
Yeah, July 1 is the pay stuff, yeah.
Can we tell them it's a reach call for R2, and so leave ourselves a little wiggle room?
What do you mean R2? R2 is April.
Right.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen for April. I mean, for April we can barely I don't think we'll manage to complete the stuff we already have. So this the question is whether this can make it for R3, which is June. Is that R3, Marie? Or is that
R3 is supposed to be the ISO interoperability, which is like just a few weeks after R2, and then R4 is the pay for peer stuff, which is July 1. So it's kind of a rolling implementation, or like a couple different phases. So
Yeah.
if the April deadline is too close, like maybe we can push it for one of the other R3 or R4.
Well, let's just not find ourselves in a situation because those things will now start to pop up, right? It's not, it's good. Like every meeting you guys have with them, it's going to be new stuff that they figured they probably need. And even
Yeah.
more stuff when they actually see the initial version of the software, when it's like, oh, actually, this doesn't quite work the way we want it. We want this to be changed. So we cannot be in a situation where like a bunch of tickets start flooding in and we are on the hook for July to finish them all. So as
Right.
long as there's some sort of mutual understanding that, yes, we'll take it and it's going to be aspirational, that's fine. But not like we are committing to anything and then they keep us, on the leash because we were not delivering something. So I
But
don't know
what
how
is
you.
it doesn't feel, or maybe it's not kind of my vibe from the meetings that they're just kind of piling on. Renewals, I believe have probably been in the specs all along, but so this is more like, hey, they're checking their boxes. It doesn't quite feel like they're sort of, hey, let's brainstorm new things we can add to the list. I hear what you're saying, though. We need to be aware of it, and we certainly need to be aware of overloading our deliverables. But they are pretty reasonable about this stuff, is my sense.
Well, but they have already changed the diagram, right? I mean, we've been going through this last week, and there's clearly some changes that needs to be accounted for. So I'm not saying that they will suddenly start inventing stuff. It's just you cannot think about everything from day one, right? So I mean, that's my only concern is communication with them so that they make some internal planning, internal deadlines, and suddenly we are scrambling because we cannot deliver.
Yeah, and I think we've told them, like, I think upfront, like, renewals were identified as like something not supported in reshare, and I think that they're just wondering if there's like a workaround. But I agree, like, I don't think it was technically contractually, like, I didn't see it in the implementation plan as like needing to have it by R2, for instance. So maybe if we have the tickets queued up and can have aspirational goals to get it done, but I guess it'll depend too. Like, if we have to do another state model, for instance, for the non-returnables workflow, where they want like this like holding period where they can review digital copies before delivering them to the patron. Like, if we already have to add an additional state or add new states, like, would it make sense to do the renewal state changes at the same time?
The only catch there would be that renewal would add, I think, a whole new message that we don't have. I don't know how hard it is to add a new ISO message that isn't already, or maybe they all there, we're just not using them. I don't quite know how we're actually implementing 18.6.6 under the hood. That may be for Jason and Kurt.
It should not be a problem. We did that for SLMP.
Okay.
I think that's actually the easy part, but you're right. I mean, so this is not just about adding an action. There's also some changes to the ISO 18.6.6 handler. But you're right, Mallory. I mean, but I don't know whether we want to, just because we know we need a new state model, we want to sort of batch them up.
Sure.
But we probably just want to make it clear that we want a new state model so that we don't do work kind of around this. Because I think this also came up when we were talking with Kurt about that work that he's doing
Yeah.
right now. So I think we should just make it, and then we'll be a bit more flexible in terms of making those changes without breaking an existing state model. We've been kind of on the
Yeah.
fence with that, but I think we should just make a call on this and make that state new state model.
I guess another thing with this whole renewal thing, if we test like with Alma, if we set up the Alma mock or the Alma to reshare testing, we could see what happens if Alma, like an ISO partner, did select a renewal or tried to renew something from us. Like, how would that break? Because like they'll like when they are using Alma, when they go live, like they will have the ability to renew or try to renew, and then so we might be able to see like how like what would happen if they did that when we don't support it, right?
You mean what would happen right now when they try to renew from Alma?
Right, yeah.
It just won't work.
Yeah,
Because
they would just get
renewal
an
is a
error.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's just gonna die silently like it does with Mother
It'd
S, with a stuff, you know, with a nice
be nice to have an unsupported message kind of thing coming back and forth, but it's true. It's
hey, don't go crazy.
unpredictable.
Steph, you're getting a nice servlet exception on two pages from Mother S when something doesn't work. So let's be glad we get an error. But it probably doesn't work. But we have the renewals implemented in the mock because renewals is one of the few things that is actually fairly well described in that use cases documents. And I'm sure Alma follows that style because they. Moshe, you know, repeatedly, you know, brings that document. So I think that's what they use for implementation, which is good actually. So I'm almost certain that that's how it's gonna work. We will double check that with Alan, but it should be like it is.
Okay. Can I ask a related but not related to Trove question about this whole topic? We scoped allowing manual editing of a due date for Minitex. we scoped that at 9 days, and that was to add a setting for a default loan period. So that would be nice for libraries that don't have nsip at all. And in fact, that would be helpful for Trove, I assume. But we also had in that, like adding the option to change the due date during the checkout item step, like an additional parameter to either choose like another date or override the date return from the ILS. And Minitex came back and said, like, they would, given those scenarios, they would only want the setting. The default loan period setting. So, that instance when if there's no nsip or nsip was turned off, there would just be a default loan applied, and they wouldn't want to mess around with changing, like adding an additional action for the checkout item step. And so I was wondering how that might impact the estimate, since it would be like only one of the two things that we had originally thought we would do for that.
But you're so just so I understand. So for Minitex, the initial thinking was that there would be an editable due date, but this was just, you know, you guys decided against that, and instead they would just have a this default loan period setting. Is that right?
Yeah,
Okay.
so they would
So there
just
would
like
be
that.
no new renewals in Minitex.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that impacts this at all.
I guess what I'm wondering is if they don't want to do this additional step to ignore the date return from nsip, like would the estimate be less than 9 days just to add a default loan period when no nsip is enabled? I ask because they're trying to get their grant monies like sorted out and approved and everything. So I just didn't know. I figured this would probably be less if we weren't adding this step.
Yeah, because there's no UI piece to that then.
It's just a setting.
Yeah, it's just a setting, but you still have to like follow the setting, and there was some kind of overlap like that. You'd be sort of working in some of the same places, so I don't remember what logic we used to sort that out, but yeah, it'd be less than 9 days.
So this default due date would kick in when there's nothing communicated from the checkout item.
Yeah,
Right.
exactly. But I don't know, it made so much sense to have a parameter on that action. I'd be tempted just to implement the other one anyways when I'm in there.
No, we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. ModRS is just going away, so it doesn't matter. But
But do they know if their checkout item actually communicates that due date or not? they must.
Well, we know it currently doesn't support that because currently it gets it from NSIP, but that's the only place the data is sourced from, which is kind of a ridiculous aspect of the system.
Well, that's what I mean, right? So it's, I mean, ANSIP checkout item. So that's the one that communicates, right? The due
Yeah.
date. And we, so that's in use because not every ILS does the same. So that's in use for Minutex, that due date from checkout item. Okay. So the idea is not is is to do what?
Is to have a fallback because right now, if there's no due date from NSIP, there's just no due date.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Do we know if there is or there isn't? Or is this
We know
different from the.
there is no fallback currently. I think
No, no, no,
NSIP,
no.
which it would be dependent on the library. So it is for most of them, but they probably have some where it isn't, which is why they're even thinking about this.
So for some ILSs, the checkout item does not return the due date.
I think they just have
Right.
some libraries that aren't using NSIP.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That makes it even simpler than that. Okay. Because oh yeah, that would be fairly surprising if it didn't. Okay. Well,
I
so I
get.
mean the parameters feels like a total red herring here. I mean, if this is for libraries that don't use ANSIP, what is the idea of the parameter again?
So that they could set it on when they're checking it into reshare. They could just determine at
I
that point
see.
from the
I see.
UI, hey, I want to check this in and I want it to be due back at this point.
Gotcha. So it wouldn't be a parameter to the checkout item. It would be just a parameter in reshare specifically. Okay, that makes more
Because
sense to me.
that's actually where the due date is determined, is when you run the check in to reshare action, it checks out from the ILS and takes that due date. And so if you run the check in and you provide a due date, that would allow you, even in the case that you had ANSIP enabled, it would give you the option to override the due date
Yeah,
that comes back and be like, they don't
they
want
don't
that.
want that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it turns out we just need to do the default setting for when there's no ANSIP, and that's fine. And sure, let's say 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I think that yeah, no, like the library doesn't have NSIP, or like if for some reason the NSIP call didn't return a due date, they would want a default to be applied. Yeah.
It almost doesn't feel possible to me that the checkout item would not return a due date. So if there is an ILS like that, that would be yeah, very surprising. So that's why I was asking whether they actually know that there is a case. Like let's say they're running, you know, I don't know, Voyager and it doesn't return the due date. It'll be good to know this. But that doesn't change what you need to put in here, I think. That's okay. So yeah. Just default due date in the reshare.
Okay. Sorry to sidetrack there, but I've been meaning to ask you about that. Okay. I know we're basically at time. I think that was the only other thing I had to ask about for Trove. I think otherwise it's just kind of getting more information from them on the other pieces that we went over last time. So, is there anything else you need me to share here, Jakob?
I'm sorry, Mallory, come again.
Is there anything else that you need me to go over, share screen-wise or
I
for
think
Trove?
so you've got everything covered that you wanted to discuss, or is there anything else?
Yeah, I think for now, those are good. I have certainly a lot of tickets to create, but based on you know the stuff we went over earlier, but I think that's it for
So
me.
the only other thing was the stuff we discussed last week regarding the sort of Alma support for that cost negotiation. And I don't know if you guys had any more information about this because I like to me the way we ended that conversation was that it wasn't clear if we were gonna try to support you know what Alma allows or not. So that was basically with the service, the paid versus unpaid service type, right?
Yeah, so I guess two things. I thought we were potentially going to look at that with Alan when we were testing with
Yeah.
Alma, but also to ask, like, I think we have to ask, we have to see what's possible with Alma, which could be a question to Trove to ask. suss out with their Alma library users, but maybe we can do that with Alan. And then if they want a workaround that Alma wouldn't support or not, and I don't know that they would want to do that. I think they would like to keep the ISO partner workflows the same as the reshare tenant user workflows. So it's kind of like a
Well, that's almost impossible, right? Because it's a different UI, so the workflow will be different. Question is, how should we model that in Alma? Because those Alma partners, they will not be using Grisha tenants, right? They will want to
I
execute in
mean,
Alma.
to me, I think it once we get into the edges where we have barely trod ourselves, like the price negotiations, to me it feels like a bit of a reach goal for that to just magically work in Alma. Of course, given that we are implementing it now, I guess we can try to align with Alma on this, but I don't think the Trove guys would be able to protest too much if the conclusion ultimately is that only peer-to-peer is going to work reliably on the ISO side, because it's just a lot of things to make work together, would be one take on this. You also write, of course, Jakob, that the actual workflows will look very different, and they will have to, I think it'll be on Cabal and Trove to work with their Alma partners to kind of walk through essentially the documentation of how to engage with reshare on this. We've seen that Alma is much more flexible, like it's much closer to the standard, which makes their UI really clunky, but probably means that they can do a, more or less anything that the use cases in an ISO allows. But somebody's going to need to document to them what the correct behavior is if you want a certain result coming out of Trove.
Yeah, well, it's not gonna work with reshare without work. That's what I'm
Correct.
saying. So I think we kind of need to decide if we even want to investigate this for R2, or we just we have certain baseline that we agree with them. It could be the loaned and unfilled scenario. That's pretty much it. Maybe the renewals. And not even attempt to investigate, because you know how it is. I mean, there's always a way, right? But it means kind of figuring out how to model that on the Alma side. So if it's not cost negotiation, there could be special partner that is a paid version. Yeah, we can always hack it around, hack it in somehow. But it is our time working with some system.
Now, we don't have to worry about cost negotiation via two. I mean, we still have to worry about it on a timeline that's pretty tight after R2, I guess, but it's not in the R2 rollout as it's peer-to-peer. It's
Well, I think the
sure.
conversation last week was kind of that the whole notion of the service tiers is probably related to cost negotiation, at least from the Alma partner point of view, because you could also think about the whole notion about like sending the request to the paid tier as sending a cost negotiation where the cost is at some level and the free tier is cost zero, right? That could also be like a model for this.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if we want to get into it, but that's basically my question, right? We can spend a little bit of time investigating this, come up with some ideas, but the time is tight. So I don't know if we're on the hook for
In
that.
investigating this, you're talking specifically about the price negotiation flow with Alma.
Well, I know basically that Alma supports price negotiation, and again, we know how it is gonna support it. So it's like the queries we need to figure out with Alan, of course, but we know because we have the use cases document, which covers that. The question that we've been kind of raising is how does this even work? So if we have an Alma partner in Trove, and they want to send a request, which is the reciprocal, right? And then kind of elevate that to the paid tier. How is that modeled on the Alma side?
Well, so wouldn't what if we say that the model that we're aiming for is that we're actually going to we're going to issue a new request. We're going to use the kind of fork or clone request thing that Reshare can do. Then that could be the flow for Alma as well. And they're just going to, if they want to, if they can't fill the requests on in there at a zero cost, they're going to have to reissue it. Or they can issue it the first time around with a maximum cost that's greater than zero, and that's up to them.
Sure. Well,
I
so
think that would work.
that could work. I mean, so you're saying that the whole sort of rota construction would be, from the Alma point of view, will use the cost to decide which tier it is sent to. Yeah, so that was the question we had, right? Because I mean, there could be millions other ways to do it. I mean, you could have another partner which is defined as reciprocal.
Correct, right. You could have two different, that's for sure. Yeah.
Okay, but do we need to solve this for R2?
No, because there's pay for peer is not in R2.
Okay. So for R2, the only, so also for the rota business, do we even need to have a rota that considers those paid tiers?
Not for R2. The paid tiers shouldn't like be used until R4 in Ju when they go live with that in July.
Okay, that's a good input because this is not this is not what I understood based on these documents that I took over, because that was explicit about, you know, kind of
I
jumping
mean,
to
we
the
still have to
next.
have it in the data model, right? I mean, we have to
I
know
don't
what.
know. I mean, yeah, maybe not for R2. We can always extend the data model.
But we
Okay,
still
but
have to have
good.
the networks.
Well, but are the networks, yeah, I don't know. The network stuff, yes, of course, but the network stuff is associated with the cost level, right?
No, the networks
So the
are orthogonal to the tiers.
so let's bring this up because I think we are kind of circling this over and over. Could you stop sharing?
Yep, sorry.
No, it's fine. Let me just bring that up because I just want to make sure that we're building the kind of rota logic that we need for R2. Let me just pull that up.
I hadn't looked at your sketch or your sort of outline rota logic from a perspective of, oh, we're doing a version one of it that is only for two. But of course, you could do that.
Yeah, I don't think we should be building anything we don't have to. So, but let's take a look at this, right? So this is what I posted to the, I mean, I've already tried to distill the previous discussions into something that is as simple as possible. I removed the calendar stuff completely because we decided it's out for R2. So basically the pseudo algorithm, right? So we've got first, filter out ones that don't have a tier and network in common with the requester. So I think that covers the stuff you mentioned. And then filter out ones where the request TLC doesn't match one of the tiers TLC. A TLC is the service type level and cost tuple. But the cost is not.
Cost is not a factor in R2, but service level in principle is, right? Service type and level are. So
Yes.
it's the cost.
Yeah, let's see, how did we model this service type and level? We did put the cost on the service.
The cost is associated with the type and the level. That comes out of those wireframes that we develop with them.
Yeah, so the only difference for R2 is that the cost, we ignore the cost.
The cost will just be $0.
Gotcha. So there is always just, we don't even look at it. Right, at the cost. Or do we need to look at the
But
cost?
that's still potentially a negotiation of the service type and level. So it's almost this, I mean it's a lot of the same stuff.
What do you mean by negotiation?
Well, yeah, the service type and level are requested by the requester, and the supplier has to accept or reject them. I think in we probably want, so service level could be things like core or Rush or Express, right? And I think the is there an assumption, Mallory, in this that a supplier might say, "Hey, I can give it to you, but not rushed"?
Yeah, I had that as a question in that other document. Like, is like saying like I can get this to you, but I can't do it on the express timeline. I can do it on a core timeline. Can we change the service level?
Or if we have them, I wonder, or if is it the case that we would just not send it to a library that isn't committed in the directory to provide that service level? So then
Yes,
maybe they
exactly.
don't.
So we would know that the shared index offers some suppliers that we haven't asked for availability information yet because they aren't offering that service level, because they're not part of
Well,
it, a common tier that has that service level.
the whole Rota logic construction assumes that you will filter out ones that don't support the same service level.
Right. But we could return, like, we could, the information that some of them were filtered out is something that might be useful to express in the Rota or the audit trail. And that's something we talked about at one
Yes.
point or another. So that
That's
when
right.
you hit end of Rota, you don't have like nothing to go on. You have some information that, oh, well, there were a number of potential suppliers that have it in the shared index that we didn't even ask. And this many of them you could get by changing your service level, and this many of them you can get by changing your price.
Yeah, once we have multiple different dimensions that you could flag, it starts to feel a little bit fiddly in terms of what the user experience might be.
I think, like, in the same example that they mentioned, like, of wanting to change the service level, is not that they don't support like Rush or Express. It's just that for that particular item, they might not be able to get it as fast as like is required, but they want you to know they could get it for you. You know what I mean? Like it's a specific like
So is it
item
just
that was,
now that they are kind of, I mean, I think that there's always an implied possibility of negotiation because they can always respond with a conditional reply to a request, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so what are we saying here? Are we saying
I think
that
the
there
main thing we're
should.
saying is that for R2, I think for R2, we can probably say that there is no need to have any automation around rerunning the request, rerunning the rota, building a new rota.
Yeah, and beyond R2, what's the assumption that there will be like service level negotiation and service type negotiation?
Costs and service type.
And that's going to be negotiated. So the library, we're still going to send the request to the library that claims it supports
Well,
it.
it's just that I think for R2 as well, you want to be able to do a conditional response, which we already do. So there's already a negotiation. It's just a question of adding some more parameters to that. I think we can go look at that together in the actual UX for the conditional response. But
Yeah.
the
No,
bigger question is, do
that is
we
not
have
supported,
to?
Sub. That is completely research invention, which is not doing proper ISO 18626.
What are you
We
talking
shouldn't
about?
assume the loan condition. Is that what you're talking about, right?
How's that only? That's only reshare?
Yeah, that sends just a notification.
No, there's a conditional
Yes.
response in the
No.
standard. I've seen it.
No. I know what it does. It sends a notification. So it's like a form of messaging between two peers. Proper way to do this is with retries and ISO 18626, and reshare does not support retries.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I'm asking, because like all of this adds work to for us. It's not something that we cannot do. We can add it, but especially we need to be able to also work with Alma. which is very picky about the I/O 86 to six compartments, right? So like all of those potential features that Wisher may already support and we have promised them, we need to review all of that because we need to make it work with Alma. And we probably need to fix it either in the broker or in Wisher. We always have that option to actually fix this up in the broker with the shim, but it's work. So that's what I'm asking. So let's make a plan for this. Like, is this going to be a form of negotiation? Then we need to support that. Is this going to be like a fallback mechanism where you kind of repeat? Because I think, Mallory, you also mentioned to me that you guys were discussing with them some form of, oh, we go like the first round, we look at the reciprocal, and then we continue with another request. We also weren't sure how we will model that, right? Whether that would be reposting of the original request or whether there would be some parameters for the original request that lets it continue. I think we need to have clarity on that.
Yeah, I think that they wanted it, like that they wanted it to be like one gigantic rota with reciprocal and pay for peer, and to have that like stop in the workflow to like ask if they wanted it to go to the pay for peer tier. But I feel like that's kind of complicated, and that re-requesting and sending it into the paid tier would like be more straightforward. But I think, I think we can take that question to them and just see.
So, and this is more about like just having clarity what the final product you do, right? But for R2, I guess we have some wiggle room. We can also sort of propose what we are able to come to deliver. So, this is what we are planning to do for R2 right now, just so we're on the same page, guys, right? So the idea was that we will just filter out any libraries when we are building the rota. We're just gonna filter out any libraries that don't support the same service type. And level cost we can forego for R2. So that means that a library that is already receiving the request, the supplier that is receiving the request, by definition supports the type and level. So there's no need for cost negotiation, type and level negotiation. Is that a correct assumption?
I think that's fine for R2. Like, they might want to try to change the service level, but they could. I think for R2, like, they could just message each other about that if they wanted to. They're not going to age right now. Like, we've put off the aging ticket for based on service level, so it will stay with the requester, even if it should have gone to the next one, or with the supplier, because it's not going to age it because it's past the 24 hours or whatever for rush.
So it could be that a given library supports a rush service level, but just for that given request, it doesn't really support it. Is that?
Right. They might be like, I can get it to you in 2 days, not in one day. Like, do you want to do that? And so technically it's a different service level.
Gotcha.
But I
Gotcha.
don't
Okay.
know, like, changing the service level, we've run into complications with changing the service type in current reshare. So I don't know if that's going to cause problems to change the service level in the middle of a request.
Service type is a different state model that is bound to be more difficult.
Okay. Yes, changing service level will not work. It will not work with Alma. I mean, so I think we should not do this for April. So for April, no service level negotiation, and then let's flesh out how we want the service level and cost negotiation to actually work. I think we should do
Okay.
it. We should do it the way I/O 86 wants to do any kind of negotiation because service level and type is just a field like any other. So there's like this common model for negotiating a value that it, and it can be anything, right? It can be a due date, it can be the max cost, it could also be the service type or level. I think it's the process is the same, but we need to support it basically. All right. Mallory, do we have anything else?
I think that's it. I like I said, I'm still getting caught up on everything from being out, but I will I can send a message if I run into anything. And also I'm trying to find another time for us to meet tomorrow. So
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good just to
okay.
kind of sync up on those things. Yeah. I think we just need to flash those. The because also I think for R3 we kind of need to start flashing up exactly what we R3 now. I'm sorry, R4 as the one, right? R3. Could you tell me again, like, what was the idea with R3?
Yeah, R3 is the ISO partner interoperability. And so that's just a few weeks after the go live date. It's like
So
May.
that's like testing.
Yeah. And then so that's the ISO partners will be able to do reciprocal workflows. And then the R4 date is the pay for peer workflows that everyone, ISO or reshare partners, should be able to use. And that's the July
Okay.
date.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. We just need to kind of flesh out the, you know, the changes for that R4.
Yeah, I think it's just like trying to understand like what do we need to have in place in R2 to make R4 makes like sense and be implementable. And so I think that's why like all of the pay for peer questions started coming up is like how just trying to understand how the workflow is going to work. So I agree. I'll keep working on trying to figure out that how we want that to work.
I'll put some notes here, but yeah, feel free to add additional ones.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. Do we have anything else? All right. Cool. Thanks, guys. Talk to you Thursday.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
Well.